This is a special edition of You Speaks Out on endometriosis. Amber Wasilewski is a 30-year-old who is the Mendocino County chapter president of the Worldwide Endo March. Amber is currently presenting educational forums about endometriosis, a disease that affects up to 10% of women worldwide. It has been called the most common disease you've never heard of. Healthy Start Laytonville supported Amber's public presentation and this special edition of Youth Speaks Out.
Thank you guys for coming today. I'm here to talk about endometriosis, a common medical disease that's affecting 1 in 10 women worldwide. My name is Amber Wasilewski. I live in Mendocino County. I suffered for 15 years before I got a proper diagnosis. My symptoms started when I was in the sixth grade. I didn't hear the word endometriosis until I was 28 years old. And I finally found a doctor to listen to me, hear me. They did the surgery, found endometriosis everywhere. All the scans had shown up normal over the years, and there was nothing normal about my situation. So I made my way down to care for her, finally, I went through two gynecologists there, and finally found one that was like, wow, I think you have endometriosis. You're exhibiting like almost every sign and symptom of it. She tried me on hormone therapies for a different type of hormone therapy for a few months after that. My symptoms actually got worse. And then we decided to go in and do surgery after I had lost my job because the pain was so bad and I was missing so many work days. She decided, you know, we had to go in and see what's wrong, and it was everywhere. So after that surgery, I was, you know, sent away, and my pain was continued. I had two more emergency room visits, one with a ruptured endometrioma on my ovary. And it wasn't until then I was sent to UCSF and learned about excision surgery and how all my disease had not been previously removed. So I just, and there's not an excision surgeon in this county, so I just really urge, or even Sonoma County, I just really urge people to get out of these counties and into better care. Because it's out there, you just have to search for it and appeal those referrals or, you know, all that. Endometriosis is tissue that is similar to the endometrium, which is the lining of the uterus. It grows outside of the uterus and onto other organs and the extra pelvic areas. It causes severe chronic pelvic pain. Over 176 million girls, teens, and women around the world are suffering from this disease. Lack of awareness and education means it is still taking an average of 6 to 10 years from the onset of symptoms to receive a correct diagnosis. This has to change. It has to change. The Teach Endo Now campaign, which I am a part of, the goal is bringing endometriosis education into schools. The goal is by 2020. So time is up. In layman's terms, endometriosis, it's like having mini periods outside of your uterus every month. So it's when people ask me what it feels like, I explain it as it feeling like the worst blister you've ever had multiplied by hundreds inside of your pelvic cavity, your bladder, your ovaries, your uterus every single month. And the pain just, it doesn't stop after your period ends. It continues on for most women. Unfortunately, I'm in that category. The blood has no way of exiting. This monthly process just builds up scar tissue and causes inflammation and wreaks havoc. To kind of understand what endometriosis is, you have to understand how the lining of the uterus works. So it goes through a phase every month where the lining builds up, prepares for a child. Sorry, I didn't say that very well. Prepares for pregnancy. When that doesn't happen, the uterus lining breaks down and sheds out. Well, that's the same process that happens where endometriosis is inside of your abdominal cavity. And like I said, it has nowhere to exit, so it just creates scar tissue and adhesions. And this process just happens month after month after month. Extremely painful. Just want to reiterate, painful periods are not normal, no matter what you're told by your family members, your friends, your doctors, they are not normal. I want to go over a few of the common signs and symptoms of endometriosis, one of them being severe pelvic and abdominal pain before or during your periods. I'm not talking like pain where you just pop an Advil or two and you're okay. I'm talking severe. You're sweating, you're curled up, you cannot move. I personally would miss about 4 days of school every single month. I remember my mom physically trying to pull me out of bed saying, Amber, you cannot miss school because of your period. We didn't know what was wrong with me, and I was accused of faking and being over dramatic by doctors and relatives. So this started when I was 11 or 12, and I remember middle school just being absolutely miserable. I was teased because I was the girl that put blood on herself. I mean, I was constantly bleeding and in so much pain. So also excruciating cramping down the legs. I call it jelly legs. I get this horrible pain down my legs. My legs actually they stop functioning. My mom had to actually wheel me into the clinic last month when the first day of my period in a wheelchair because I physically could not walk. I was in so much pain. So heavy bleeding and clotting. I always thought that was normal. And I've actually been doing a survey lately for my friends who don't have endometriosis. And I'm like, that's what a normal period, you work out on your period, wow. So heavy bleeding and clotting, that's another sign. Irregular menstrual cycle, bleeding in between periods, not normal. Painful bowel movements, it could be diarrhea, constipation, IBS-like symptoms that involve cramping. For many years, I was misdiagnosed with IBS. They just blamed all my symptoms on IBS, told me to change my diet, and I would be fine. Well, none of my symptoms subsided. I was still in pain every month. Bladder pain also comes along with endometriosis, especially when it's bladder involved. Frequent urination, nausea, vomiting from the pain of your period, very common with many women. Also painful intercourse, especially when the endometriosis is down in your cervix. Also non-relaxing pelvic floor dysfunction is a coexisting condition that comes along with endometriosis, which also makes intercourse very painful. Chronic fatigue is a major symptom of this disease. You are just in so much pain, fighting daily with all this inflammation, and it's so hard to overcome. Chest pain with period. Some women have extra pelvic endometriosis. A friend of mine just suffered a lung collapse on the first day of her period. So, and that's a common and untalked about symptom. There's also women who experience few or no symptoms. The stage of the disease doesn't always correlate. So a woman with stage 4 may not have as much pain as a woman with stage 2. I met a woman at Stanford who had stage 4 and her only symptom was infertility. And now that she looks back on it, maybe a little bit of digestion issues. But she had stage 4 completely covered, and she was able to have surgery, remove the endometriosis. She had a child. It's since grown back, and she is dealing with infertility issues again, but still not, you know, symptoms like how I'm experiencing or many other women are, which brings to infertility is a major symptom. It's a huge percentage of women that have endometriosis or deal with infertility. Cyclic shoulder pain, usually on the right side. That's a sign of extrapelvic endometriosis that is often overlooked and dismissed by doctors. And as I mentioned before, the pain and cramping down the legs, and also the sciatic nerve pain. Ugh, I started going to the doctors for that in 2013. Crippling sciatic pain. And I was just given anti-inflammatories, muscle relaxers, and sent away for years. Till 2016, I had somebody listen to me, and I have endometriosis on my uterosacral ligaments, which I think was causing a lot of the pain down my leg, which has since returned since my last surgery. So get in the know about endo. Endometriosis causes chronic inflammation throughout the body. I can't even begin to describe the ways it affects the body. It's considered to be a full body disease. It is estrogen dependent, and it makes its own estrogen. It supplies its own life force. So even after menopause, women are experiencing endometriosis symptoms. There's also a disease called adenomyosis that comes along with endometriosis sometimes. But yeah, it's all dependent on endometriosis. It creates its own estrogen. There's no cure. Treatments can help to manage the pain. Endometriosis can cause multi-organ damage, failure, and lung collapse if untreated. I'm dealing with some kidney issues currently, and we're trying to figure out what's going on because endometriosis doesn't usually show up on any scans, imaging, blood work. I mean, for almost 15 years, I was told I was normal. So endometriosis can also mimic other conditions, IBS. For years, I was told I had reoccurring pelvic inflammatory disease, which is just an embarrassing, horrible thing to be told that you have when they're telling you it's caused from untreated chlamydia, and I've never had any STD of any sort. So they just, you come in with inflammation and excruciating pain and bleeding, and they just, oh, you have pelvic inflammatory disease, and send you out the door. Well, of course women aren't speaking up about their issues and their pain and their symptoms because we're being told we have, you know, untreated STD So UTIs is another one, a urinary tract infection. I never tested positive for pelvic inflammatory diseases, urinary tract infections at these times where I went into the emergency room, but I was treated with antibiotics, given medications, and shoved out the door with no follow-up. I mean, I would follow up, but I'd be told the same thing, that this is normal or nothing was wrong with me, they don't know. medical documents dating back 4,000 years that describe endometriosis-like symptoms, and awareness is just now being raised. So adenomyosis, as I was talking about earlier, it's a disease inside of the uterus, causes labor-like cramping, heavy bleeding, the back pain. It's excruciating. My surgeon now suspects I have that since I got a little relief from my excision surgery last September, along with my recurring other symptoms. But adenomyosis is inside of the uterus. Endometriosis is endometrial-like tissue that grows outside of the uterus, onto the ovaries, the areas in front and behind of the uterus, even down into the cervix. That's the difference between those two. And a lot of women experience the same. So the knots, and I laugh because it's hurtful when some of these are said to you. Pregnancy is not a cure for endometriosis. It's a very outdated information that's still being given out by doctors, because when you are pregnant, you stop bleeding. When you're breastfeeding, you're not bleeding, your hormones change. So because women's symptoms subsided, they said, oh, keep having babies. I was actually recently just told that at an emergency room visit a few months ago, which actually led to me speaking to a whole emergency room full of doctors and emergency room nurses, because I put my foot down. This is not okay that they're giving out that information. Somebody may not be as educated about endometriosis as I am and so desperate to get out of pain that they jump on that bandwagon. And actually, pregnancy with endometriosis can cause a huge variety of problems and pain, and often the symptoms are worse after that. So preteens and teenagers are not too young to have endometriosis. The youngest diagnosed case, 9 years old. It's starting young. It's believed there's genetic involvement, so the tissue could be laid down during fetal development. That could kind of explain what's going on. But 9 years old, the youngest diagnosed endometriosis patient. Hysterectomy is not a cure. As I said before, endometriosis makes its own estrogen, so even taking out the uterus and the ovaries, it's still making its own way to survive. So hysterectomy is not a cure. Painful periods are not normal. There's no way to prevent endo. It is not a sexually transmitted disease. I actually had I was a bartender, and I had an ex-customer run into me and asked me what STD I had, because he heard I had an STD. It was some crazy STD that caused me to bleed a lot, and I was just stuck at home. So endometriosis is not sexually transmitted. You cannot catch it. It's not contagious. It's not preventable. There's four stages of endometriosis. Like I said before, the stage of the disease does not always correlate with pain, meaning someone with stage 2 may be in more severe pain than someone with stage 4. The disease is very individual. Every woman will experience it a bit differently. Yeah, some women, you know, may only have the painful periods. They may not have the bowel problems, the bowel pain and the bladder pain and all that. So it's definitely a very individual disease. Areas where endometriosis is commonly found: outside of the uterus, the bladder, outside of the bladder, inside of the bladder. My urologist actually said he had a case, a woman was sent to him. Her doctor thought that she had cancer due to the amount of pain and fatigue that she was experiencing. And he went in there and it turns out it was endometriosis inside of her bladder. So it really can spread anywhere. The ovaries, inside and out, they cause these huge chocolate cysts. They're also called endometriomas, and it's endometriosis just working its way out of your ovaries. And then they burst, and it is the worst experience in the world. The last one I had, it landed me in the ambulance ride. The bowels are often involved. Cervix, appendix, lungs, kidney, ureters, uterosacral ligaments, peritoneum, which is the layer that covers all your organs in your abdominal cavity. They had to strip mine. It grows back, and unfortunately the endometriosis grows back too, so it just feels like this fire hot layer of blisters in my abdomen. Incision port or cesarean scars. Some women don't have endometriosis until they have a cesarean, a C-section, and the tissues get misplaced and it starts growing out of their cesarean scar, or even the incisions where they do the laparoscopic surgery. So every time we go in for a surgery to remove our endometriosis, we are at chance of getting endometriosis in the incision scars. Rare findings are brain and inside of the nose. Women get nosebleeds with the start of their period.
How do they look for it other than cutting you off?
Unfortunately, that's the best way.
You just sit there and wait? No.
Yeah. Very rarely does it show up on imaging. Yeah, like I said, for, you know, a better part of 15 years, I went and had every scan you can imagine, and endometriosis never showed up. I was told it was in my head. I was accused of being a drug seeker at one point. I was acute, living with an invisible disease. You look at me, I don't look sick. I mean, without makeup, you could definitely tell I'm fatigued and I'm struggling hard. But, you know, they're like, you don't look sick. I don't see what's wrong with you. My blood, my labs, everything is showing up fine for years. And when they opened me up, my colon was attached to my left pelvic sidewall. I had endometriosis on my bladder. I have endometriomas. They told me that these were normal cysts that every woman experiences every month. Mine were endometriomas, which were the chocolate-filled cysts. I mean, it was everywhere. And for all these years, I've been told that the pain was in my head, or the pain I'd been experiencing was normal. Extremely traumatizing.
I'll say.
Conditions commonly occurring with endometriosis, as I talked about before, adenomyosis, interstitial cystitis, also known as chronic bladder pain. So it feels like a UTI 24/7. My bladder feels like it has razor blades in it. It is just constantly inflamed and in pain. And I kept getting diagnosed with a UTI or bladder infection. And it turns out I have endometriosis on my bladder along with interstitial cystitis. Non-relaxing pelvic floor dysfunction, that's your body's reaction to pain. Your pelvic floor is made up of a bowl of muscles, and its response to pain is to seize up. So it'd be like flexing your bicep or your fist and keeping it like that for days and weeks and months and years. And so it goes into spasms, and your capillaries, your nerves, they are all squished, causing intense burning and bladder frequency. During flares, I often urinate up to 30 times a day. It's an extremely painful condition that comes along with it. So, and the non-relaxing floor, so it causes coccyx pain, hip pain, and all that too. So that was also just dismissed for such a long time. I'd go and complain of back pain, and they would give me a muscle relaxer or say, oh, you're just here seeking, send me away. And I have some serious issues going on that I needed help for, and it was just dismissed. So organ failure and dysfunction, I also briefed over that. It is sometimes that the kidney loss is silent. It wraps around your ureters and slowly kills off your kidney. So that is a commonly occurring condition with endometriosis. Depression and anxiety, as you can imagine, along with anemia from all the blood loss. This is what adhesions can look like. So they're fibrous bands that form between tissues and organs. In other words, they're internal scar tissue that binds your organs together, causing painful tugging and pulling. They're a result of injury, and since our organs are being attacked constantly, adhesions are constantly forming in women with endometriosis. So that's when you find women's ovaries will just, it won't even show up on an ultrasound sometimes, and that can be a pointer, like, oh, there's something wrong, we need to go in and look. That's how it shows up on scans sometimes, but it will just wrap the ovaries down to the uterus or to the bowel or wherever. So that's a very painful condition that also causes a need for surgical intervention. They go in and they cut those out, but surgery causes adhesion. So it's kind of just this non-ending cycle. treatments, pretty scary. Hormone therapies, birth control, GnRH drugs, like Lupron. Lupron is a chemotherapy drug given to males for male prostate cancer, and they are giving us these drugs to force us into menopause for the duration that we're on these drugs. And there are some serious, horrible side effects. It's not a cure, it's just a Band-Aid. And they are just pushing this treatment out. I luckily declined it. I was very sensitive to the other hormone therapies they had given me, so I declined the Lupron, and I just read horror stories about it, but it does help some women, so I'm not knocking it. It's just very terrifying. Pain medications and anti-inflammatory drugs both come with risks, addiction, and also I have gastritis now from the anti-inflammatory drugs they've given me, so I can't even turn to those for relief anymore. And excision surgery, that's the golden standard if you find a skilled surgeon. So non-excision surgery is the first surgery I had. It's called ablation, and that is where they go in and they burn endometriosis off the surface. Well, there's a very high reoccurrence rate for that, and it leaves you in a lot of pain because your issue is not being resolved down here, so you're still in a significant amount of pain. Excision surgery, they actually go in, and it's the actual removal of the root of the disease, and they are very aggressive with it. That's the golden standard. If you can find a surgeon who is skilled, I definitely recommend excision surgery. Alternative treatments, dietary changes, and eliminating inflammatory foods. This has been huge in the pain relief, especially with the abdominal bloating that I get. I couldn't believe that this was like one of the hugest life changes I made that helped the most. But it really did help. I cut out dairy, gluten, soy, the most processed foods, and I noticed that my flares were a little bit more manageable, especially with like the GI issues. Acupuncture, chiropractic, and pelvic floor physical therapy are also other alternative treatments and therapies. Diagnosis, you got to start somewhere, so the pelvic exam would be first. Then you're going to move on to MRI, ultrasound, intervaginal ultrasound, and finally surgery. After you've run through all of those and don't get any answers, surgery is the last straw. So, and like I mentioned before, endometriosis and adenomyosis does not usually show up on imaging. This is leading to delayed diagnosis, misdiagnosis, or in unfortunate circumstances, the patient's made to believe that the pain is in her head. Surgery is only the only way to diagnose endometriosis. They take samples and send it to pathology, and that's the way to go. a few possible causes, retrograde menstruation, where the period blood backflows into the abdominal cavity, and their theory is that the immune system has a flaw in it, it's not able to clear the tissue, and that's what endometriosis is. That's being debunked more now because they're finding it in fetuses, kind of pointing towards the genetic theory that's laid down in fetal development. Environmental toxins are believed to have something to do with it, and like I said, the immune system malfunction. This is a quote from the co-founder, Barbara Page, at the Worldwide Endomarch. "Millions continue to suffer as this devastating disease is still largely ignored, despite the millions of women and girls around the world who live in unbearable anguish. Endometriosis continues to be one of the most urgent, yet ignored public health issues of our time. Hundreds of years from now, future generations will look back with utter disbelief that such profound suffering could have been ignored for so long by so many." Thank you, Barbara Page. So, 1 in 10. I also wanted to send out a huge thank you to Dr. Najat. He is the founder of Worldwide Endomarch. And he's also a world-renowned surgeon. He also invented video laparoscopy. So he's just been huge for us endo girls. And then the co-founder, Barbara Page, they are just leading this battle to fight for what's right. They've started the Teach Endo Now campaign, which is spread to hospitals. Dr. Najat donated $50,000, $10,000 a piece to the first 5 hospitals that open up an endometriosis center in their area. There is an endometriosis march annually. The closest one in our area is San Francisco, and this started 6 years ago, and we are marching to raise awareness. We're marching for better care. We're trying to get the word out there, and I hope somebody will join us from this area. Hope to see some familiar faces down there. San Francisco, March 30th, and these are happening worldwide. It's the Crissy-filled area. I know it's from 11 to 3. I'd gladly leave my information if anybody wanted to get a hold of me. It's endomarch.mendocino@gmail.com. endomarch.mendocino@gmail.com. I'm the Mendocino chapter president of the Worldwide Endomarch team. My name is Amber Wasilewski. I live in Mendocino County.
More information about this topic may be found at endomarchnews.org. Youth Speaks Out has presented radio programs featuring young people in Mendocino County, California for 19 years. We are currently supported by Laytonville Healthy Start. Jama Shield Spence is the director of Healthy Start and may be reached at 707-984-8089 or by email at jayma@laytonville.org. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of Drug Control Policy. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts. I may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through our website, youthspeaksout.net. At our website, you can listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio or get a link for our monthly podcast. These programs are free to rebroadcast upon notification. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next month.